This is the Warren County Radio Bible School, and the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're studying a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of October the 2nd, 1927, about Elijah on Mount Carmel. This was a test of faith for Elijah. In the third year, God commanded Elijah, saying, "Go show thyself unto Ahab." He promptly obeyed God as usual, knowing that God, who had preserved him at Cherith and Zarephath, could save him from the wrath of Ahab. Prompt obedience to God always gives courage and strength. "And I will send rain upon the earth," that is, after Elijah had stood before Ahab, and the contest which followed was over, God sent this famine as a challenge to Baal or his worshippers, and as chastisement to the people for Baal worship. When the people learned that Baal was nothing, they would return to Jehovah. But Ahab did not repent. In the distress of this famine, Ahab directed Obadiah to go through the land in search of water and grass. He and Obadiah divided the land between themselves and went through it, one going in one direction, the other going in the other. When the wicked Jezebel was feeding 400 false prophets at her table, 1 Kings 18:19, and was trying to exterminate the prophets of Jehovah, Obadiah hid 150 in a place, in caves, and fed them with bread and water. Passing through the country, Obadiah met Elijah. Elijah directed him to go tell Ahab that Elijah was here. Obadiah declined, knowing that Ahab wanted to punish Elijah for famine, and thinking that God, as he had protected Elijah before, would again remove him out of Ahab's reach, and Ahab would then kill him for allowing Elijah to escape. But Elijah assured Obadiah that he would not disappear. Obadiah believed Elijah and went to Ahab and told him what Elijah had said. Ahab went to meet Elijah. As soon as Ahab saw Elijah, with impertinent and shameless bravado that only disclosed his inherent wickedness and contemptibleness, he said, "Is it thou troubler of Israel?" With shameless boldness, he made this bare attempt to turn the tables on Elijah by accusing him of being the criminal. The enemies of Jesus and the apostles tried this very trick of Satan. They accused Jesus of having a demon and of raising an insurrection. They accused Paul of stirring up the mobs which they had raised. Some, the same tactics are still resorted to. Elijah met Ahab's charge with a direct denial, saying, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of Jehovah, and has followed the Balaam. These sins brought upon all these troubles." Elijah reproved the sinners and announced the coming famine. Many now turn from God's order and true worship. His faithful servants, like Elijah, oppose all such departures, and trouble and division arises when those who introduce the departure accuse the ones who oppose them of causing the trouble and producing division. This charge is as bold and brazen and weak and contemptible and shameful and false now as it was then. God had preserved this charge of Ahab and Elijah's reply to forever settle the question of who troubles Israel. The true servants and friends of God today are the ones who maintain God's order of things. But the people were limping between two opinions. After denying the charge that he was the troubler of Israel, and showing that Ahab had caused all the trouble by forsaking the commandments of God and maintaining the worship of Baal, Elijah then challenged Ahab to the contest of our lesson between Baal and Jehovah. By the majesty of right and the authority of Jehovah speaking through him, Elijah issued the following order to Ahab: "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of Asherah 400 that eat at Jezebel's table." Ahab accepted the challenge and obeyed the order, and sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. It seems the prophets of Asherah did not attend this conquest, neither did the wicked queen. It doubtless required several days to collect this assembly. Then Elijah came near unto all the people and said, "How long go ye limping between the two sides? If Jehovah be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." The people hesitated and were undecided between Jehovah and Baal. Clark's commentary makes the following pertinent remark: "They were halt. They could not walk uprightly. They dreaded Jehovah, and therefore could not totally abandon him. They feared the king and queen, and therefore thought they must embrace the religion of the state. Their conscience forbade them to do the former. Their fear of man persuaded them to do the latter. But in neither were they heartily engaged. At this juncture, their minds seemed in equal poise, and they were waiting for a favorable opportunity to make the decision. Such an opportunity now, through the mercy of God, presented itself. Indecision between right and wrong is a decision in favor of the wrong. Too many now are limping between two sides. God's true and loyal servants, like Elijah, are decidedly and wholly for his way. Joshua put this test to the people. To Elijah's exhortation, the people answered not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, "I, even I only, am left a prophet of Jehovah, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, and let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire therein, and call ye on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Jehovah. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Well, Elijah's challenge was accepted. The above was a challenge for a fair test. This the people saw. They accepted it. The prophets of Baal also accepted it. When the bullocks were brought, Elijah allowed them to choose and to proceed first, for they were many. This was logically right, because Baal worship had been introduced where God's worship prevailed, and the prophets of Baal were logically bound to show the superiority of their God. They should affirm their practice was right. All people are logically bound to do the same. This was a contest between a false God and the true God, a false religion and the true religion, corruption and righteousness, licentiousness and virtue. 450 false prophets on one side, and 1 true prophet on the other side. This is one of the greatest victories of right over wrong and truth over error on record. A thousandfold we would rather be on Jehovah's side in this and any other struggle, although like Elijah alone, than to be on the popular side and wrong. He who follows the popular sign to do wrong is strongly condemned. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak or bear witness in a cause to turn aside after the multitude to wrest justice. Exodus 23 and verse 2. So now we must choose the right and serve God truly, like Elijah. Though we are alone, we must do this at all hazards. The prophets of Baal prepared their bullock and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped about the altar which was made. From morning unto noon they called unto Baal, but received no answer. As the time passed, they received no answer. They became more frenzied until they leaped about the altar. And they danced around it with strange and hideous cries and ejaculations, tossing their heads to and fro with great variety of bodily contortions. Such is a description of the dance of the dervishes in the Maghribi's lands of the Bible. Then Elijah, in the keenest sarcasm and bitterest irony, and with the most withering ridicule known in all literature, began to mock them, saying, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Of course, it requires loud calling in order to make a god here. Either he is musing, or he has gone aside, or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. They did cry aloud. And not only so, but they cut themselves after their manner with knives. It says swords in the margin of the American Standard Version. They cut themselves with these knife swords and with lances until the blood gushed out upon them. It was customary in idolatrous worship as a kind of penance to satisfy their God for the worshippers to thus punish themselves. Thus, these prophets of Baal acted in a wild frenzy, growing more frantic until the time of the offering of the evening oblation. Well, that would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. So let's look at these explanatory notes. Let me read that text again. It's been a couple of weeks, I think, since we read that. 1 Kings 18, 30 through 39. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of Jehovah that was thrown down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of Jehovah came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Jehovah. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said, Fill 4 jars with water, and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening oblation that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Jehovah, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Jehovah, hear me, that the people may know that thou, Jehovah, art God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again, And then the fire came from Jehovah and consumed that sacrifice. We'll continue this in our next class.